Thank you again for coming this evening. Glad to see all that have gathered with us another time for the gospel. I want to read tonight, first of all, in the Old Testament, in the book of Psalms, Psalm number 40. Psalm number 40. And reading at verse 1. It's a psalm of David. And David said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Now I want to read in the New Testament also, 1 Thessalonians and chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians and chapter 4. The words of the Apostle Paul when he says in verse 15, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 15, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Now that's all we want to read tonight with the Lord's blessing. We have read from the book of Psalms and Psalm number 40. And I just want to mainly speak on those few verses and then link on to where we have just read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. But if you were to get a link, I would just suggest tonight that in Psalm number 40, that David spoke about being brought up. He says, he brought me up also out of an horrible pit. And then Paul, where we have read in 1 Thessalonians 4, he speaks about those who are going to be caught up. And I suggest tonight that those who are brought up will be caught up. I want you to think about that. We'll go back to that. But David in Psalm number 40, some severe and real experience that he had, a time of trouble and a time of distress and anxiety. And David says, I waited patiently for the Lord. I want you to think about that. He says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. It's a good thing tonight to know that there's a God who hears. And that there's a God who hears the cry of the broken and the penitent and the repentant sinner. There's another verse in the Psalms that tells us that this poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his trouble. And if you're here tonight and you're not saved, and you're in that position of great need, I want you to know that the same Lord will hear your cry. That the same God will answer your prayer. So David says, I waited patiently for the Lord. I want you to think about determination. He says, I waited for the Lord. He said more than that. He said, I waited patiently for the Lord. You say, is there a difference? Well, I think there is, you know. You know, if you are going somewhere and you maybe are a bit tight for time and you're looking at your watch and you're driving along and you've got to be there at a certain time, and as you drive along, suddenly there's a queue of traffic in front of you and you have to wait. Now you're sitting there and you're waiting, but you're not waiting patiently. There's all the difference in the world. You know, if someone finds themselves in a hurry and then they have to stop, and there they're waiting in this long queue, you know, they're getting a bit aggravated, they're getting a bit annoyed, and they're wondering, when am I going to get there? You're not waiting patiently. But David said, I waited patiently. In other words, everything else is unimportant. This is the big thing. This is the most important thing of all, and everything else becomes secondary. And that's what salvation is tonight. You know, if a person is going to be saved, it has to be priority. It has to be at the top of the list. The Lord Jesus said in the great Sermon on the Mount, you remember he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You know, this evening, the only people who ever get saved are the people who want to be saved. That's true, you know. You know, tonight, we could stand up here night after night and try, and we can seek to tell people that they need to be saved and how to be saved and why they need to be saved and the consequences if not saved. But there's something that no preacher could ever do. He could never make a person want to be saved. It's only God can do that. And I can tell you this tonight, that if there's someone here who truly wants to be saved, there's a Savior for you. You know, the fact is this tonight, that I cannot in any way make a person want to be saved. We don't force people. We don't push people. You know, tonight, if I were to force you into something, somebody else could come along and force you out of it. It's not me. It's only God can save. And David says, I waited patiently for the Lord. Everything else
went to the side. Everything else, my, took a back seat. This is the big thing. This is the most important thing of all. You know, I've seen people near the kingdom and yet not get saved. That's a sobering thing, isn't it? It's a real thing tonight, you know, that there are people who are in eternity tonight. And once they were nearly saved, and they never got there. Oh, tonight in this meeting, if not saved, and if you have a desire to be saved, do not quench it, do not despise it, do not slight it, do not refuse it, but oh, tonight from your heart, that you might embrace the Savior. David said, I waited. I waited patiently for the Lord. He says, he inclined unto me. You know, that's a lovely word, that word, inclined. It really means he turned my way and he looked straight at me. That's what it means. He inclined unto me. He turned my way and he looked straight at me. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me and he heard my cry. Then he says, I want you to think of this tonight. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, and I write over that salvation out of the miry clay. Out of the horrible pit and out of the miry clay. You know, the Bible's a wonderful book. And sometimes just a few words can paint a beautiful picture. Can paint a great picture, a vivid picture. And when David says here, he brought me up also out of an horrible pit. You know, he's really thinking of the prisoner in the dungeon who is condemned and then freed. What a picture that is. A prisoner in the dungeon condemned, but then freed. That's what it is to be saved tonight. You know, the Bible says, he that believeth not is condemned already. Tonight the reality is, for the person who has never believed, who has never received, they're condemned already. But thank God tonight you can be freed. David said he brought me up. I used to think of that, you know, that it's like a picture of David away down in the pit, in the dungeon, the horrible pit, and he was pulled up, or as it were, he was dragged up from a position above him. But you know, it's not that. When David says he brought me up also out of an horrible pit, he's really saying he came to where I was. He came alongside me and he lifted me. Not that he pulled him up or dragged him up from a position above him, but he came right to where he was and he lifted him. Is that not a lovely picture tonight? There was one who came to where we were. There was one who came alongside us. There was one who came right from the brilliance and the brightness and the beauty of that eternal home. And he came right down. He came right to where we were. Emmanuel, God with us. And he went right down into the death and darkness of the cross that he might lift us. The hymn writer says, from sinking sands, he lifted me. With tender hands, he lifted me. From shades of night to plains of light. Oh, praise his name. He lifted me. Have you ever been lifted? Have you ever been brought out of that place of condemnation? That place, where man stands condemned and guilty before God and freed by the grace of God. Oh, it's a great thing tonight. David says, he brought me up out of an horrible pit. He says, out of the miry clay. And there, you know, it's another picture. This time, it's not a picture of the prisoner in the dungeon, condemned and then freed. But it's a picture of a traveler, of a man who's traveling on foot. And he loses his way and he loses the path and he sinks into the quagmire. And the picture is of a traveler who is lost but then found. Isn't that lovely? How true that is tonight of what the gospel does. Not only condemned and then freed, but lost and now found. David says he brought me up. There's a little hymn that says, I was lost and undone, without God or a son, when he reached down his hand to me. I want to ask you tonight, have you been lifted? Have you been brought up? Or are you still in that place where you're condemned? Are you still tonight lost? Thank God this evening the gospel reminds us that you can be freed and you can be found. He brought me up. He says he brought me up also out of an horrible pit and out of the miry clay. And then he says he set my feet upon a rock. You've got foundation. He set my feet upon a rock. What a vast difference from the miry clay, from sinking. Now his feet are on the rock. What a foundation. You know, the Bible speaks a lot about the Lord as the rock. There was a day when God took Moses and he put him in the cleft of the rock. And he covered him there with his hand. Moses in the rock. The place of safety. And then, where we have read here tonight, David says, he set my feet upon the rock, on the rock. Not only in the rock, but on the rock. Great to be on the rock tonight. You know, Martin Luther, the great reformer, he said, often on the rock I tremble, but the mighty rock of ages never trembles under me. Isn't that good? He says, often on the rock I tremble, but the mighty rock of ages never trembles under me. Are you on the rock tonight? The old hymn says, this rock is Jesus. Yes, he's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure, your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. In the rock, on the rock. You know, when you come to Deuteronomy chapter 33, in that great song of Moses, you'll read often about the Lord as the rock. And the Bible says that he caused them to suck honey out of the rock and oil out of the flinty stone. You see, there's not only in the rock, and then there's on the rock, but there's out of the rock. And out of the rock, there's satisfaction. He caused them to suck honey out of the rock and oil out of the flinty stone. You know, tonight, I hope we all realize that there is not only a salvation in the Lord Jesus, but there's a satisfaction. He's not only good to die with, he's good to live with. You know, this evening, the great reality of the gospel is that he's not only a savior who saves people from hell and judgment, and he does. He not only saves the soul, but he satisfies the life. You know, we live in a world where people are looking for contentment. And people try all types of pleasures and all types of habits, and they seek so many means to try and find some peace, some satisfaction, and how it evades them. There's a Savior tonight who not only saves, but satisfies. What about the Savior tonight? David says he brought me up. He says he set my feet upon a rock. In the rock, on the rock, out of the rock. You go to Isaiah chapter 32, we read, "Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall reign in judgment, and a man shall be as a hiding place from the wind, and as a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a mighty rock in a weary land." There's the rock again. And here, there's a shadow. The shadow of a mighty rock. And the thought is here, you see, it's not just in the rock and on the rock and out of the rock, but off the rock. The shadow of the rock. You think of a weary traveler in a burning heat on a desert sand, and out in front there is a rock that rises. He knows if he can get to that rock, that on some one side of that rock there will be a shadow of the rock. Oh, what a Savior tonight. No wonder Moses said in that Deuteronomy 32, he says, "Their rock is not as our rock." I want to ask you tonight, are you on the rock? I believe you know the Lord Jesus is the foundation. Other foundation can no man lay save that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. David said, "He brought me up. He set my feet upon a rock." Foundation. Then he says, "He established my goings." That's direction. The reality is this tonight. When a person gets saved, they're going in a new direction. You see, when a person gets saved, There is a new pathway for their feet. He leads me beside the still waters. And there's a new prospect for the future. David says, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So there's a new pathway for my feet, and there's a new prospect for my future. What about yours tonight? He established my goings. Direction. You know, salvation, when a person gets saved, there's a new dimension. There's a new direction. You know, when a person gets saved, as someone has said, you know, so often before a person gets saved, they're running after sin. But when they get saved, they're running away from sin. It's a new direction. There's a new dimension. There's a new destiny. Isn't that amazing? Now listen tonight. If someone got saved in this meeting, the amount of blessings that you would receive in that moment is far beyond any of us could ever tell. You know, the marvelous thing is tonight, the night that I got saved as a boy of 11, I really didn't know what I was in for. I didn't. But the fact is this, that I have got no more tonight than I had that night. Oh, I'm trying to learn more. But you see, when a person has Christ, you can't have any more, for Christ is all. But my, you can learn more and know more and discover more and find out more. He says, he set my feet upon a rock. He established my goings. Direction. He says, he put a new song in my mouth, jubilation. He says, he put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. A new song. You know, you don't get salvation in your Bible without a song. Now, I know everybody doesn't sing. And everybody is just hasn't got the same singing voice. But I'll tell you this. It's nothing to do as regards with the voice. It's in the heart. David said he put a new song, a new song. When the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea, when the waters were rolled back and they went forward on dry ground, and when they went to the other side and God brought back the waters across the Egyptians who had said to follow them, the Bible says that then sang Moses and all the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, saying, the Lord has become my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. What a song. Must have been something, you know. Did you ever think about that? 3 million people on the shores of the Red Sea. That's a lot of people. All singing. From the babies in the pram, all singing. Been worth listening to. Been worth hearing. As they looked across the Red Sea, and they saw the Egyptians being submerged beneath the waters of the Red Sea, and they were free, and they were delivered, and they sung a new song. What a crescendo. There's a bigger day coming. It'll not be 3 million people on the shores of the Red Sea. It'll be a numberless people on heaven's shore. What a song. When the ransomed of earth shall unite in the song that is sung over there. It'll be worth hearing that, won't it? Far more. It'll be worth being part of it. Will you be there to sing that song? Will you be part of it? When the ransomed of earth shall unite in the song, and they're all there, would you be there? David said, he put a new song in my mouth. Even praise unto our God. You know, I remember years ago, I was looking at this psalm, and I was thinking about it, and I thought, you know, and I'm no poet, I can tell you, but, you know, I just thought about this. Up from the pit, out from the mire, onto the rock, and into the choir. What about you tonight? Are you there? He put a new song in my mouth. Even praise unto our God, he says, many shall see it and shall fear and shall trust in the Lord. That's vindication. The change, the deliverance, the transformation. Many shall see it and shall trust in the Lord. You know, someone has said that the greatest argument for Christianity is the power of a transformed life, and so it is. It really is, you know. I have known men who were wonderfully saved and changed, and it had an effect upon the countryside that no preacher could have had. The power of a transformed life. And people talked about it. I remember many years ago in the district where I was brought up, there was a man who had lived a reckless life for years and years, and he was wonderfully saved. And the conversation in some of the houses in the countryside, even in Roman Catholic homes, they said, "What happened to Tommy? What did yins do to him?" The power of a transformed life. Many shall see it and shall fear and shall trust in the Lord. That's vindication. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust. That's confirmation. Blessed. Blessed is the man or woman, boy or girl, that makes the Lord their trust. What about it tonight? Brought up. We read in 1 Thessalonians 4, and it's going to happen some of these days, where Paul says the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. He says the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. You say, will it happen? It will. How do you know it will happen? God said it. Do you need any more proof? Not a bit. Could happen tonight. You know, when I was a wee boy going to meetings, they preached a lot about the coming of the Lord. In fact, you know, there was nights I used to leave and I used to think the Lord could be here before the morning. He is coming. He's coming back. He's coming soon. But wait tonight. It's only those who are brought up will be caught up. It's only those who are redeemed will be raptured. It's only those who are saved will be snatched away. He's coming. You know, that was the thing in my experience that really stirred my soul the night that I got saved. The man that preached that night, I'll always remember what he said. He said, tonight, the last stone could go on the building and the church would be complete. The last soul could be saved. In fact, he said, some little boy in Africa could be the last soul saved. And then he said, and you sitting here in Ohram Gospel Hall, who have heard the message all your life, be left. The church complete. The Lord come. And the saved move out. I tell you, that's something. That's going to happen. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. Will you be caught up or caught out? Will you be caught up or caught on? Have you been brought up? Have you trusted Christ? Can you say tonight, my feet are on the rock. My trust is in the man that died upon the cross and died for me. Oh, listen tonight. He's coming back again. He's coming soon. Are you ready? He that shall come will come and shall not tarry. A numberless people will meet in the air, the Lord who redeemed them. But will you be there? Oh, this evening, that someone might be brought up. And then you'll be caught up when he comes. Shall we pray?